The Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service now presents West New York Independent Living's Meet the Candidates Day for Niagara County. This originally took place on October 22nd, 2025.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome, thank you, Mr. Albert. She's our first speaker. If you want to introduce yourself for a few minutes and then you can take questions.
Okay. So good afternoon, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Elder. I'm the county legislator for the 4th District here in Niagara Falls, New York. If you didn't know, this area right here is in the 4th District. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up right here in Niagara Falls, New York. I graduated from LaSalle Senior High School. And then I, right after graduation, I joined the United States Air Force. I spent almost 27 years in the United States Air Force. The last 17 of those years, I spent on Air Force One serving Presidents Bush, Clinton, and Bush. But, then when I retired, I went to the Pentagon for a year as a civilian, then Department of Homeland Security, and then Federal Emergency Management Agency, and then I went to the Department of State in Washington, D.C. I was there for 7 years. But then I came back to Niagara Falls, and people ask me in D.C., Jeff, why'd you go back to Niagara Falls? And I tell them, homes were the hardest. And then I tell them the story about how in 1998, I was on Air Force One on a 14-hour flight from China with President Clinton. And I told him how I had political aspirations. And President Clinton was like, well, Jeff, tell me about it. So then I told him about Niagara Falls and how in the mid-70s, Bob Barker brought the world to Niagara Falls, New York with the Miss USA pageant 3 years in a row. So when I left, Niagara Falls had it going on, honeymoon capital of the world. But every time I came back, something was gone. And I told the president, I said, you know, the politicians up there, they're looking back, they're not looking forward. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to do something about that. And the president said, you know what, Jeff, I like that. I'd like to help you with that. And then I chuckled and I said, look, Mr. President, I'm serious. President Clinton grabbed me by the hand, looked me straight in the eye and said, Jeff, I'm serious. So to this day, we are still communicating. In fact, I just shot them an email before I came over here. So Niagara Falls. Before I left, my grandmother told me, baby, never forget where you came from. And I haven't. So, and I tell people, who'd imagine that a young black man from Niagara Falls, New York, would travel the world with three different presidents calling me by my first name? I said, that's amazing. And I said, they said, well, you probably have some pretty good stories about that. And I said, yeah, I do. And I actually wrote a book. My book is called From Niagara Falls to Air Force One and Back. And it chronicles all the stories of how I was on Air Force One on 9/11 with the president, how we had a secret flight into Baghdad, how I brought President Clinton into Buffalo, New York, and met my whole family. So, but I don't use this book as a bragging tool. I actually use this book because I'm a mentor. And I'm a mentor because of the life that I live. So I reach out to young men and women, and I tell them when they're sitting in a setting like we're in now, I start talking to them about the different things that I've done in different places that I've been to. And then I say, and you know what? You can do that also. And then when I see that light bulb go off, I'm like, my God, okay? So, and that's what I use this book as a mentor thing. Why I'm here today is, you remember that old Sims commercial? It says, an educated consumer is our best customer. I say an educated voter is our best customer. You need to know who's actually in this race, what they stand for, and what they're trying to do. Talk is cheap. Many people will say that they're gonna do, but my thing is, where have you been? Where are you? Jeffrey Elder is actually out in the vineyard, and I'm actually working in the vineyard to do those things that need to be done. I brought many thousands of dollars back into our community, and there's a lot of things that I'm trying to do, but you don't just want somebody to show up during election season that hasn't been anywhere in your neighborhood and come and say, they're going to do, because That play does not work. Jeff Rioter is in the vineyard, and he's actually doing it. I'm a common sense Democrat. So many of you might know, I ran for mayor in 2019 of Niagara Falls. I ran as an independent. I did not get in, of course, but in 2019 or 2021, when I ran for legislature, I reached out to the mayor and I said, Mr. Mayor, you and I, we ran against each other in 2019, but in 2021, I was like, you and I, we're on the same page. We're in government. So it is our job to work together. And many people don't understand that. If you're in government, you're going to have to work with other people. That's what's wrong with Washington, D.C. right now. There's nobody willing to reach, sit in the middle, and reach over to the left or reach over to the right and bring everybody together. And that is hurting all of us. We're all hurting because of that. So that needs to go out. So, like I said, I'm a common sense Democrat. I have my palm card, and every time I'm out, I have my palm card with me. And as I'm giving it to people, they say, give me a call. I have my contact information on everything. Because of that, you know how much spam mail I get, you know, how many spam phone calls, whatever. But you know what? It's the service that I need to do to serve my people. So I want to make sure that you do have a way to reach out to me. And if I don't reach out to you, please reach back out to me, because something might have, you know, fell through. But I definitely want to let everybody know. And one other thing you'll see on the back of my palm card is I'm endorsed by all of the unions. And that's because I am concerned about our working people. Our working people deserve to go home, to go to work and come home safely. I was a firefighter in the military. And so whenever you whenever those bells go off, you don't dwell on the fact, well, I might not come home. But that's a fact. But we want to make sure that safety in the workplace is being taken care of. And we want to make sure that the wages that our people are getting are sufficient. And right now, there's a lot of, right now, our democracy is really in trouble. When I went into the military, I swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And I will continue to do that until my last breath, because I'm a patriot. That's what we are supposed to do. Many of our voting rights are being eroded, even by the Supreme Court, as we speak. So we need to make sure that people know the most important thing that they can do is vote. Your vote is your voice. If you don't vote, you have no voice. And how many people do you see that are complaining? And then you ask them, okay, well, did you vote in the last? Oh, I don't know. I only voted in the presidential order. No. All politics are local. Everything at the local, the school board is one of the most important things, because that's going to affect us on a daily basis. I'm the county legislator. And there's so many people that did not vote in that last election, but they're complaining about many different things. And like, if you don't vote, don't complain. Because your vote is your voice. What's time again?
You got about another 5 minutes.
Another 5 minutes? Okay. Let's see. The Air Force taught me a lot of different things. And I've been all over the world. I've been to all 50 states. I've been to all of our territories, and I've been to every continent except for Antarctica, and I didn't plan to go there one day. But and everywhere that I've gone, not only did people know about Niagara Falls, either they've been there or they're planning a trip there. So I'm like, well, you know what? And when I'm going to these different places and I'm seeing these different things, and I'm like, we can do that in Niagara Falls. Hey, how did you do that? People are very generous with the information. One of the projects that I have that's coming up is a project that I got from Maryland, a sports and learning complex. That's a very big project, and it's going to take a lot of funding from the state, the local, from everybody. But we're going to get something like that, because right now our children, who is one of our most important priorities, should be our most important priority. Our children don't have anything to do after school. And when our children don't have a lot of things to do, that's when trouble sets in. That's when other things happen. So for me, and I tell the story all the time. When I was growing up, I had the Carousel Skating Center, and that kept me out of trouble. If I did something wrong, Mom was like, "You're not going skating. Mom, whoop me. Anything, just let me go skating." So that's something that really helped me. But they don't have anything like that now. So we need to make sure that our kids have something they can do that will keep them out of trouble. I'm a veteran. Our veterans, I think it's horrible to see a veteran that is homeless, somebody that has served their country honorably, and they don't have the help that they need. So that's why I've been working with the gospel mission right up the street, and they have a veterans wing that I've been helping sponsor. And so we're trying to do those things to help our veterans to make sure that they are taken care of. And our seniors, I tell all of our young people all the time, when was the last time you sat with a senior? And when you do sit with a senior, don't talk. Listen, because when you listen, you're going to learn a lot of stuff. A senior has been around, and they enjoy that camaraderie with the young people so much. And those are things that I'm trying to do with my mentoring and what have you. I learned mentoring from the Department of State in Washington, D.C., which is the biggest mentoring program in the world. And that's what I'm trying to do with these young men and women, whether they look like me or not. We need to make sure that we take care of them. And I always tell people, when you get to a certain point, don't throw your chest out, reach back and bring somebody else up and make sure that they have a way, because that's how I got up. I kept my nose clean, and never been arrested or anything like that. I have I'm married. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. I have two beautiful daughters. I have four grandchildren, by the same woman. And those are things that I use in my mentor life. You can look to me as a mentor. So with that being said, I'd like to go ahead and open up things for questions. Yes, ma'am.
Hi again, Emily Watkins, BTP and NPR. I'm interested as you're talking about mentorship and bringing up young people. If reelected, what are some initiatives or like solid policy changes that you hope to make that would provide more opportunities for mentorship and employment, especially for young disabled people, because we know they face different barriers to employment?
Yes. We was just out at the Niagara County. They just had a ribbon cutting yesterday. One of the areas that was really wonderful was for the disabled children, where they actually get to learn and what have you. So they're asking us if we'd like to come in and volunteer. And many of us were like, yes, we would definitely like to do that. But we want to make sure that programs are available because our kids need it and they need it bad. So I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that we are making those programs available for everybody. And I don't care what zip code you live in. Many people reach out to me that are not even in my district, but they want to know how do I feel about something and would I support? Yes, I'll definitely support. But I always tell them, who's your legislator? Because I don't want to step on their toes. I want to make sure that they're included in this also. So I reach out to them, and so that's how we do it. And that's all about working across the aisle, working together. That's how we're going to do it, by working together. UNITY. Yes, sir. Oh.
I'm just having a hard time hearing you back here.
So you have difficulty hearing me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll speak up. I'm sorry. Is that better?
It's a little bit better.
Okay.
I probably should have been down there, but anyway.
Okay. Yes, sir.
My name is Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell.
I'm one of your constituents.
Yes, sir. Yes, you are.
And 4 years ago, the thing about the sports complex and all that was a good idea. And that was my focus at that time. But things have changed
yes.
in the last 4 years. So that don't look so important right now as to what's going on in the world today.
You're right.
So right now we're going to run into some difficulties.
Yes.
And we're going to have a lot of homelessness and a lot of hungry people.
Yes.
And what do you have that you can, you know, we're a blue spot in a red county.
Yeah.
So what do you, are you going to be able to bring from the county to help the people who are going to be suffering from the fallout of what's going to happen in the next 30 days?
Yes. That falls on VOTE. We have of the majority, but the majority does not come out and vote. And because the majority does not come out and vote, other people get in and then they follow in on those things that are going on in our area. So what I say to you is tell your friends, tell your neighbors how important this election is. That's the main thing. If they get out and vote, then we can do things. And when we have the power, we have the power. But when we come together as a unified people, we can make things happen. And that's exactly what we need to do.
But my question is,
yes.
What plan do you have? Do you have an action that we are going to be able, that you're in office already?
Yes.
So what are you going to bring to the table for right now? Because, I mean, we can vote about a lot of things and still don't get no resolution as to what's going on, right? So right now, we are in a state of emergency.
Yes.
So what are you bringing to the table right now? Because that determines on whether we vote for you down the road is what you do while you're in right now.
Yes. And right now, just to tell you the dynamics of things, I'm one of 3 out of 15. So the other side has a supermajority. We have been legislating, trying to get things approved, but if we don't have the majority, we're not making anything happen. And that's why I'm asking you to vote, because our plans, we have some plans that we have put forward, but they're going nowhere because partisan politics hurts everybody. I have no problem reaching over to the other side. And that's what we need to do. So the plans that I have are to make sure that we put forth the best programs for our youth, our seniors, our veterans, for everybody. And hopefully we can get some buy-in. That way we can collectively move forward, because when we're not working together, it's hurting each and every one of us. And I hope I answered your questions.
No, but
all right. You're asking for a specific plan.
Our kids have aged out already. You know, 20 years, nothing's happened. You know, there is no plan. There's the support and the want, but it's not going anywhere.
But you have to look at who's in charge of that stuff right now. I mean, when everyone votes to put forth those people, I'm in the vineyard and I'm working and I'm trying to make some things happen, but I can't do it by myself. I need help.
I'm sorry. Can we get this one more question in? I think it's a very important question.
Okay, very quickly.
Will you support the use of county funds provided to the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority to expand current transit options past current limits provided by the Americans with Disabilities Act?
No doubt about it, because NFTA is the county. Spends a lot of money on NFTA. And if NFTA is not taking care of the people the way they're supposed to, then we have problems.
Yes, we do.
And as I said, we've let them know that they've had some problems, but we are being overruled by certain, by the other side. So that's where you all, whoever you're putting in office, they can make those decisions and we can move forward. I just ask you one last thing. Jeffrey Elder is working in the vineyard. And I ask each and every one of you for your vote, and I ask you to keep Jeffrey Elder as your legislator. And I thank you all very much for your time. God bless you.
Thank you so much for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for attending.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Our next speaker is here. We have Dorothy Miles.
Not the freaking changes in
there. Running for city council. And stand, sit, whatever you're most comfortable with. Up to you. And if you want to take a few minutes to introduce yourself and who you are, and then open it up for questions that you can come
up with. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Councilman Dodger Miles, running for re-election here in the city of Niagara Falls for the city council. So I'm going to give you kind of a back story to how I even got to city hall. So I live over on 16th Street. I bought my home right off of Pine Avenue, literally down the street. And I felt like I wasn't receiving some of the service that we as taxpayers paid for. And it was during the winter time. My street hadn't got plowed 2 weeks straight, so they missed my garbage 2 weeks straight. So a squeaky wheel doesn't always get the oil. You don't squeak where the oil is available. That's what I've always been taught. So I went to City Hall, and I went and addressed council. And when I got in, and I'm standing at the dais now, I'm nervous because I've never stood before council or addressed anyone before in that space. So I'm holding on to this podium that I've never stood before. And I noticed that the people that I was talking to that we voted into office that was supposed to represent us was paying me absolutely no attention. And that kind of troubled me. And I'm a little different. So I slapped the podium and woke them up a little bit and I asked them, are you going to at least pretend to engage with me? And I started noticing things that were on the agenda items that were affecting me personally as well that they were getting ready to vote on. And my thing is the people's voice means everything. We're the one that actually elects you. We hire you to do a job to represent us. The greater the title, the greater the service. So fast forward, because I did make mention, I said, well, maybe I might run for one of those seats and say what I'm saying here, but say it up there so you can hear me better. Fast forward, here I am to today. And the last 4 years have been pretty tough. I've been somewhat, they call me the disruptor because I'm not one to play as if the city of Niagara Falls is healthy. I'm not going to say that we're a grade A. I'm not going to say that we're the best version of ourselves because right now the city isn't. We have a city that brings 7+ million people here every single year. Yet the infrastructure of our city is failing. Yet there is no real true development here. And we have our residents kind of like taking the last bit of crumbs while a lot of other special interests get a lot of, the meat of what it is that we may make. So we have a wonder of the world, a natural wonder of the world. Now, let me give you a little bit about myself because I'm kind of going ahead of myself. I'm a father, I'm a husband. I'm a father of two of mine and three of my wives. And I always want to make sure that, first of all, they're my fuel because I want to make sure that, their future here is one that's thriving. I was born and raised here in Niagara Falls. Lived in the North End, but I live probably in some of all of Niagara Falls because I live on Center Avenue, Unity Park, Western Avenue, Caravelle Drive out in, in Cutterback Avenue with my father. So I experience a lot of each portion of Niagara Falls. The position that I'm running for is an at-large position. So I represent the entire city. So it's not like, the county legislator, they represent a district. I represent every last person that lives here in the city. So I represent the best interests of everybody. So once I got in, I started noticing this rabbit hole of
Corruption.
I say, I have to call a thing what a thing is. And so a lot of times when you ask questions that can kind of be a little abrasive, a lot of people may not like it, or it might come off a little harsh. But the thing is that I care aggressive. And that's how I've been for the last 4 years. I want to make sure that, you know, our city is thriving, because my dad told me about the day where our main street didn't look like the ghost town that it is right now, and how our Fall Street was booming, and how we had actual business. We had over 115,000 people living here in the city of Niagara Falls at one time. Now we have less than 50. We have 46-ish. And we're trying to find new answers using old metrics. I have a problem with that. We don't have the population density. So what does that mean? We don't have the same amount of tax base, but we're still feeding certain machines that, you know, as if we still have 115,000 people here. Doesn't make sense. So my thing is have to make sense to the other issue that I've seen in City Hall that we have, is we have an imbalance going. Now, this is coming from Dante. I can only speak for myself. The imbalanced government is this. Then the city council, my job is to make sure that we're fiscally responsible with every dollar that we spend. To make sure whatever development comes in makes sense to the people, not any special interest groups. And we're supposed to be co-equal branches of government with the legislative. Doesn't mean that, and I always say, and I make it clear, because I like to make this clear for everyone. I'm okay with working with the mayor and his administration. I just don't work for the mayor and his administration. Bring anything that makes sense to the people, and it makes sense for our government, and it helps build our government up and build our city up, I'm with you all day, every day, twice on Sunday. But if you don't, and you're spending money frivolously, and you're not making account of the dollars that you're spending, and I ask you for specifics, and you don't give them to me, then it becomes public opinion. So that's kind of like the last 4 years. It's been kind of somewhat of an uphill battle, because you end up working, trying to, you know, better a situation that has a bad culture behind it. So let me see here. I'm also a musician. I play bass guitar. I'm an organist at one of our local churches, but I also play for a blues band. And it's the reason why I'm born somewhere with that. It was in a tour band that I played for, and we would play all the way down like to the southwest area of the country. And one thing that I noticed is that most of the places that we went, they didn't have a natural wonder of the world called Niagara Falls an amazing wonder that brings millions of people to their space, like we do. But somehow they were still able to develop their city. They were still able to bring people into the city, because we would be, you know, near the airports or whatnot. And whenever we asked for, hey, is there anything to do? Absolutely, we have something to do, but you have to catch an Uber into the city. And what did we end up doing? We end up catching the Uber. We're paying money into the tax base. So now we're supporting local businesses there with our dollars. So, and that's one of the biggest things that I've learned here that we lack. We're not business friendly in the city of Niagara Falls. We're not, you know, resident friendly, because we don't listen as a governing body. There are so many different issues that have been brought to our desk that has just been so overlooked. And whenever we, you know, I'll speak for myself, whenever I try to pull those issues out, it's five of us. I'm 20% of a vote. And my first year was a 4-1 all year long. I'm fighting for, you know, issues regarding quality of life issues in the city of Niagara Falls, our streets, our roads, our trees. People have been on a 17-year tree list to get their tree cut down. And all of this craziness. So it's been more of a fight. But my thing is this. Niagara Falls is a blank canvas. We're not healthy right now. But there, if I didn't think that there was any opportunity, or if I didn't think that there was any hope, or if I didn't think that we had any potential, I promise you, I would not have put my hat in the ring, and I would not be out here knocking doors. I would not have ran again. I know that we have hope, but the true story is we have to do our homework on who we vote. Because you need a majority. I won't sit here and lie to you and say that Dante Miles himself can do anything by myself. As city, I can represent you. I can make sure that when I'm on that dais, I'm speaking truth to, you know, I'm speaking out and I'm speaking for the people. But if I don't have two more people that's willing to be on the right side of history when it comes down to the citizens of Niagara Falls, nothing can happen. I'm overruled every time. So I think the biggest thing that I ask for anyone is to just make sure that we do our homework. Pay attention to, and if possible, I know everyone can't make it to city council meetings all the time. If you could send someone in your stead, just so you can see who's representing or sometimes misrepresenting. Because then at that point, you're able to make an educated vote. And when you vote, you're not voting from name recognition or somebody you went to school with, or this person was my son's teacher or whatever the case is. You're voting from what you know. You've watched them. You've watched them vote yes on a whole bunch of things that may not have been healthy for you and your family. I think I didn't have any notes or anything. I just wanted to kind of like really express who I am and why I move the way I move in City Hall, and why I'm asking for your support. And I am running on a write-in ballot because I lost the primaries by 86 votes. And so when someone says your vote doesn't matter, trust and believe it does. And I didn't get any endorsements, so I'm not going to ramble off a whole bunch of different type of, because sometimes how I represent the people of Niagara Falls can sometimes be a little abrasive, and some people don't like it. But my thing is this, we didn't get here overnight. So some of the solutions are going to have to be somewhat, let's say, disruptive. Because you're going to have to disrupt something. Change requires change. You can't rub two quarters on the table and think that it's ever going to turn into a dollar. I promise you it won't. I think
that's okay. We can open it up to questions.
Absolutely.
What do you know about the City of Niagara Falls ADA Task Force?
Not much of anything. I haven't heard anything from the administration. And I haven't heard that, you know, because any decision that is to be made is to basically come to our desk for us to vote on.
Okay.
So, you know, any concerns or whatnot?
So you're not familiar with it at all?
Not much at all. Any other questions?
I was going to ask, are there specific policy points you have that focus on the disability community? I'm a reporter, by the way. I'm Emily Watkins from DTPM NPR. You know, I'm wondering if there are any specifics you can dive into that you feel appeal to this community specifically.
Well, something as simple as accessibility into City Hall is something that I notice to be a problem. I don't know how many times, and I do it, I make sure that I do it personally, and I try to make myself available because I don't see my colleagues, you know, caring a whole lot in that space where I'm like, okay, here, come down the bottom ramp, I'll open the door for you. Because people, if you're going to come to City Hall to see what we're voting on, how we're going to spend your tax dollars, because that's literally what we're in charge of, I want to make sure that you're able to get there. So I'm like, hey, I know it's an elevator down there. If I see someone in a wheelchair, or I see someone struggling, or I see someone like that's not able to climb those stairs up in the front, I'm always, so my heart is for, and I have a special place for the disabled because my son, he's on the autistic spectrum. I understand how it is to have to try to navigate in spaces where other people, like, the majority of a city and the majority of government call something normal. Well, what I deal with in City Hall is everything but normal. So I don't, And that's from people who they call themselves normal. At the end of the day, the youth, the elder, and the disabled is I. Because I'm strong. I'm good. I can handle myself, but I know babies, they can't do too much for themselves. Elderly, they get older. It's a lot that they can't do for themselves. And those who are in some form of disability sometimes can't really do a lot for themselves that I would maybe be able to do for myself. So my thing is I practice empathy. I have to put myself in your shoes. If I'm not dealing with what you're dealing with, but the thing is I hear you. That's my main thing. That's why I always, unlike others, I invite people to the space where we're making decisions. So you can tell me because I don't have all the answers.
Well, as a follow-up to that, are you aware that by law, the city of Niagara Falls is supposed to have a designated coordinator that ensures the rights of people with disabilities are met? And if you have those concerns about the accessibility of City Hall, have you ever communicated that to the ADA coordinator?
Well, I've communicated it to my colleagues and, you know, to try to like see what we can do, because it's an issue. I get the phone calls and text messages and emails as well. And anything that happens, anything that we put into legislation has to have a 3 or more vote.
But are you aware that the city is supposed to have this designated position to meet those complaints? And do you know who that person is, and have you been able to direct people to them?
No, I didn't, but now knowing, I always tell people I'm accountable for what I know. So when it's brought to my attention, and this is something that I can guarantee, say that I can actually go and kind of reach out to now, and I definitely would love to connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I asked that because even just a quick Google search, the public notice that's supposed to be available for an ADA coordinator doesn't appear quickly, which means an average person may have trouble even reaching that coordinator, which the city's supposed to have. And I would think the city council would be interested.
Can I tell you something about transparency in the city of Niagara Falls? Isn't it? If I can just be 100% honest with you, I'm a city council member and I ask for basic things. And there, it even came to a point where I had to make a FOIA request as a city council member for documentation that's supposed to be readily available for me as a council member, as a representative of the people. So when it comes to, and I've watched our city website, I've watched it morph into something that gets harder and harder to navigate. When you want to go see certain things, you want to try to find certain things, it becomes harder. So when you tell me that, you know, you try to look, when you look up for something and it's like almost impossible to find, I totally understand. And I get that, especially from our constituents.
Thank you. I appreciate
one more question. Anybody have a question?
I heard you mentioned something about, it's a two-part question. You mentioned something about snow plows and stuff like that. I'm quite sure you may have received some phone calls with people from the disability community, right, say, hey, we can't even get down sidewalks because of the snow. We can't get off our bus because it hasn't been cleared. One is that when you get reelected again, right, so you make a focus on that, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and the second one is as far as the ADA coordinator, I don't find it too hard that you don't know who it is, because this is what we do as an organization. Right? We used to have an ADA task force running smoothly to get it back. And now that we got it back, we're still trying to figure out the coordinator, right? We're trying to figure out why did the ADA task force disappear from the website, right? Could you help us with that?
Absolutely. And that's another thing when it comes down to these different types of resources. And I'm gonna go back to what you were talking about as far as, like, you know, the plowing and these different issues that we have. Right now, I'm gonna tell you one of the first things that I would be kind of championing
there you go.
doing once getting reelected is visiting our city charter. Because what happens is this, and what a lot of people don't know, is the charter that is as it is written right now doesn't allow us to reach out to the department heads and address them directly and say, hey, this whole alley where people's driveways are hasn't been plowed in a week. Their snow is 3 feet tall or whatever the case is. Well, if we go back into the charter, we change these crucial things that allow us to flow more fluidly and to be able to reach out to those that, you know, can fulfill these different issues that we have, then I believe that we can kind of like have more of a smoother transition and a lot of things will get done a lot quicker.
Okay, one more.
The funding for that mural that they put down on Main Street and Portage Road, where did that money come from?
That was a grant funding. You're talking about on the street skate. That was grant funding that came outside of that, that had nothing to do with the, any city money. It wasn't Greenway funds. It wasn't anything that came from like state funding or anything that we could have used for anything else. It was literally for that specific type of project.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Dante, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Dante, just gonna warm up like that.
So our next speaker is here, Sean
Lapp.
Hello.
Hi,
you're
funny.
So
you're
comfortable tonight.
Yeah,
NAAP.
Yeah, NPR.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
then, give a little background about yourself. Yeah. And then,
you can take questions.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll let you know when you're ready. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, I guess I'll start now. Greetings, my name is Sean Knapp, and I'm running for 4th District County Legislator. I'm a graduate from Buffalo State College. I studied mass media production and business marketing there. I started my first company in college and started investing right after college. Afterwards, I came over here to Niagara Falls with my family. I'm a father of five, by the way. We started investing in real estate. I wanted to give my family an opportunity to tap into more of a independent way of living, so to speak. So we started investing. Then I saw looking at the political realm here. I was wondering why Niagara Falls wasn't growing as fast as I thought it would. Why there was so much poverty, why there was so much crime in nature. And then I started looking into the government. And I realized a lot of the individuals that are in government aren't working to help change the city. They don't want it to change. And I guess the first question after that is why is it the way it is here in Niagara Falls? Why don't they want to help cultivate Niagara Falls to be better? Because a lot of the attention from this administration, most of the focus is on tourism than actual residents. Residents get ignored. We have a high crime area, high poverty. Why aren't we fixing these problems? Why aren't we equipping residents with the tools to be successful? So these are some of the questions I asked. So I sat down with our current legislator. I sat down with the mayor, and there was literally no answer. Everything is being ignored. Most of their focus is on controlling rather than giving power so that we residents can thrive in the city. So I reached out to our current legislator. I wanted to know what his plans were for this district. I'm gonna mention it again, I'm a father of five. He said he was gonna call me back and he never did. And this is one of the reasons why I started by. I just had a recent debate with our legislator. he's been here for 4 years. So I asked him like, hey, listen, what are your plans? What do you plan on doing moving forward? He still has no plans to this day. The best plan he can come up with on the debating stage he presented was a skate park. That was his best plan for this district. As if we don't need to change the dynamic of the situation, the best idea you can come up with is a skate park. So my focus is empowering residents, giving them the opportunity to invest in real estate here because the government holds on to the majority of the properties here. All these zombie homes you see on the street, that's mostly held by the administration here. Why don't we do what Buffalo did? They had a great idea. They offer these properties, and a lot of them went to subsidized housing like this, to benefit programs like this. But what they did was they sold the properties for a dollar. They gave residents the opportunity to buy in, and then they had a certain time frame to renovate those properties and use utilizing something that's actually advantageous for the community. Why don't we do that here? Instead of waiting for tourists to come out here, buy up our property, and then essentially move the people out. Because that's what's going to happen eventually. So my focus is primarily empowering residents, empowering the community, so that way we can do better for ourselves instead of waiting for this administration to do better for us, which they're not going to do. That. So that's why I'm here. If there's any question, please feel free. Somebody.
All right. So why are you running for a county position instead of a city position?
So on a county level, there's about $500 million just sitting to be utilized. Why that resources haven't been tapped into, I have no idea. So this is my focus. I've been working with the county already, like getting to know people, networking with them, and getting to understand the language, so to speak. And this is one of the things that I had one of my critiques with my opponent on the debate stage. His problem is he's too nice. I said, we don't need people to be nice just to be nice. We need people that's going to get work done for the city. How are you going to go up there and demand that we get resources invested into our community? That was a major thing. So yeah, and on the county level, and this is why I support people like Dante Miles, because if we can connect the county to the city, we can get a lot more done. There has been nobody able to do that. Look at North Tonawanda. North Tonawanda is booming right now. It's because the county is connected to the city. They have worked effectively, and it's not about party lines. People get quote unquote, oh, Democrat, Republican. That's irrelevant when it comes to this local level stuff. Because not North Tonawanda is ran by a Democrat, and the two legislators are Republican. Well, look how beautiful North Tonawanda is. Our city can have the same type of benefits, but we have to make sure we put people in there that's going to be able to represent and communicate effectively to get those resources. Any other questions? Go on.
One of your focuses, real estate housing for individuals.
That's one of them, yep.
And the second one is bringing in those funds too. My question is, if you get in, you're going to be one of three, right?
No, so I'm a Republican.
You're a Republican?
Yeah, so that's the benefit we get.
You're a Republican.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, you're still going to be one of three because they don't think like you with what you said right now.
Right.
So what are you going to do, right, to make sure what you're saying right now is like, actual focus
right.
On the other was 15 other people, 15 other people.
Right. So it's 15 legislators.
Right.
So again, because I'm a Republican, I get access to that type of ground. They never really took the city serious because there has been nobody to represent effectively. So again, the reason why North Tonawanda works is because it's majority ran by Republican legislators, and they can work with the mayor of the city who's a Democrat. This mayor here literally is cutting ties off of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gun-holding this administration right now to prevent them from doing anything that's advantageous to the community, but what's only advantageous to himself. There was a lot of funding that was cut in the city. Even me and my team, Dante Mars, one of them, stepped up. We had to invest $7,500 in the Doris Jones Center because the mayor decided to cut funds from the children. If he had cut funds and we had allowed that to happen, those kids would have been out on the street all summer. We already knows what happened when the kids are on the street all summer. So we step up to make sure that those kids have those funds so that way parents didn't have to come up in pocket to pay for it, and these kids couldn't attend these summer camp programs that would have been advantageous enough. One of my major focuses also is when we look at the youth, when I knock on doors, I talk to the individuals. They tell me that one of the biggest problems is that their kids, when they go off to college, they never come back.
No.
Because there's nothing to come back to.
Mine refused to come back.
Right. And if my daughter, she grows, she says she's going to college, she doesn't want to come back, I wouldn't even fight with her because there's nothing here for her. We need actual career jobs here. There's no career jobs.
Other than the police officers.
What's that?
Other than the
police officers. Right. The government here has the highest pay. Like I just found this out recently that starting off with some cops is $85,000 a year. 85?
What's that,
man? I said the cops. They start off at $85,000.
They work unlimited overtime.
Right.
They make more than the ADAs and the DA.
Right. That is absolutely insane. So your highest paid employers are just the government, fire department, police department, anybody who works in administration. That is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Because with that, and I have no problem with the police. I think we need police and fire department. But when your highest paid, they don't solve problems. right? You call them after there's a problem. Dante, you mentioned that too yesterday. You call them after there's a problem. But there's one side of the union. It's a labor union. If they're not working, then nothing is being developed. And if the other side is working constantly, which our police force should be working constantly, but if they are, that means they're fighting chaos.
Okay.
We have a major problem. So we need to be able to bring the power back to our labor unions, put them in a position to build, because if they're working, that means the city's prospering. If they're not working, we get what we got. So my focus is, again, one of the major projects that the mayor's trying to build is San Antonio Park. Anybody here familiar with San Antonio Park? Okay, one person. It's a hockey arena. $250 million is going to cost. It's not even privately funded.
Why is it going to cost that much when it's been utilized up until?
Well, here's another part to that. The land that's being contested, the mayor's trying to take the land from NFR, who actually owns the land.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using taxpayers' dollars to fund a brigade of lawyers that we're paying now to go take this land from somebody who owns it already just to build a hockey arena that's not even self-funded. Again, time after time, it's bad business deal. Eminent domain, right. Time after time, it's bad business deals after bad business deals. And then who's biting the cost for it? We are. We're paying for it. The tax dollars, the renters, you're paying for it. So one of my plans are is to put, instead of a hockey arena that only makes $87 million a year in Canada, mind you, he's trying to take a Canadian team, bring it to the U.S. They don't make enough money in Canada, but you want to bring it here to the U.S. Bad business deal. So one of my plans is, instead of us doing a hockey arena, why not an esports arena? Well, esports is, it's a gaming complex.
Mm-hmm.
Gaming competitions. Kids come from all over the world. They battle each other. It's like a Super Bowl of gaming. So they come, they battle each other. It's a $187 billion industry. $187 billion industry. You get 1% of that, that's $187 billion a year. The problem is, you don't have smart individuals that's up there that's able to do this. Now, even the current legislator, I don't want to throw shots at him all day, but even then, he had no idea about EA Sports. He had no idea about any of this. His focus is whatever the mayor tells him to do, he's going to do. And we don't need people like that. We need people in government that's actually looking to serve the people and not their political interests.
Well, you're going to make your task very difficult.
Oh, for sure. I didn't expect that. I know one thing in politics.
I'm taking the conservative moniker.
Right.
In this area.
Right.
Your chances are
slim.
Very slim.
For sure. But here's the thing.
You already know. We
had this conversation here. Yes, sir.
Talk on my voice, though.
Yes, sir.
So we are. We know where Niagara Falls is.
Right.
So even if you're not successful this time, I would suggest that you run for a city next time. And you're proud of it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And this is the conversation I've been having, because I know it's an uphill battle, especially for me being a Republican in this district. But here's the thing. Even when I had a conversation with the mayor, he talked about how, you know, he's more Republican than he is Democrat.
He is.
But here's how corruption works. They expect people to just vote Democrat. Just to vote Democrat. So anybody who's corrupt can just sit on the Democratic line and just get your vote because they know you're going to vote for them. I move with integrity. And I feel like anybody who's running should move the same way. Hey, listen, I'm not switching my party just because. No. At the end of the day, this is what I strongly believe. My focus is family, faith, and self-responsibility. That's it. That's what it comes down to. So, but we keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. We're going to get the same results over and over and over again. So until we start flexing and voting consciously, not party lines, but people who represent you. People who's going to actually put out the fight for you because they can relate to you. I live in the city. I don't live anywhere else. I live here. So one of the reasons that galvanized me to come out and even run for politics in the first place was because there was a shooting on my block. A bullet went through my neighbor's house. It was an elderly man. Me and my kid cut his grass all the time. But it was a party on the corner. Kids were fighting in the street at 4 o'clock in the morning. And a gun rang out. Bullet went right through the house. It could have been mine or anyone else's here. So that's one of the reasons why I reached out to our legislator. I'm like, yo, listen, what is your plans? What are you going to do? How are you going to help cultivate this district? Because there's no way Main Street should be looking like this, and no way the Northern Corridor should look like this either. No plans. You're going to think, don't focus it on party lines, focus on people. Because at the local level, that really does not matter at all. At all. That's why I can work with people. Dante is a Democrat. But I support him full-heartedly. Because we align in vision and mission for Niagara Falls. But then you see some people that's sitting on a Democratic line, they don't do anything outside of what the mayor tells them to do. And that's not going to be beneficial, period. Any questions?
I don't want to question, but I'm Republican too, but I voted for him 3 times.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter to me what your party is.
Exactly. And that's how I move. Like, if Obama decides to run right now, I'll be voting for Obama.
It doesn't matter. It's not about party lines. It's about who relates to you the most.
Right.
Who you can literally, who's going to fight for you. That's what it comes down to. Because the mayor is a Democrat. Is he fighting for you? No, he's not.
No.
Not when he's supporting more tourists than he actually is the residents. Not when he's pulling resources from us.
Tourism is dead.
It's bad.
It's still America. I mean,
but tell him that though. Don't tell him that.
I mean, if you my family lives out in LaSalle, and we go out here just for a couple days just to get away from everything, you know? All the homelessness. Mm-hmm. All night. They don't utilize cards after midnight for any of the establishments. So you're carrying cash around.
Right.
Everybody knows that. I mean, you look out the window. I love the fireworks. But when you look at the other side, the people walking around at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, it's dangerous.
Right.
It's scary.
Like a zombie
land. It's zombie land. It's incredible, the things that I've learned this past summer.
Right. And you can't, and I can't really blame the people.
No.
I can blame the administration.
Exactly.
Because you provide a platform like this. And when you don't focus on residents, this is the outcome.
Yeah.
This
is
the exact outcome.
I'm like, where's the tourists and where's house that flourishing? I don't see it.
Right.
I don't see it at all. I see people scared.
Well, it's a follow up. I'm sorry. On the topic of homelessness. We've seen a big change in federal and state policy as it relates to people who are homeless, especially people who are dealing with mental health conditions.
Right.
And New York has made it easier for police to get involved and put someone on hold. I'm wondering, as a county legislator, what would you do that would focus on the homeless community, and especially as it relates to mental health and ensuring their rights and their autonomy.
Right, right. So one of the things that I actually had a conversation with Todd about this will come in here. There's been no representation from our legislator in regards to this too. And I'm just finding this out as well. So I'm having these conversations. I'm like, okay, did you guys at least try to talk to the legislative body about this? And like, no, it's not their job. It's our legislator's job to do that. So again, and this is why I told him, listen, we could have multiple conversations so we can talk about this and kind of get an idea of what anticipatory steps we need to take to rectify this. Because clearly, I don't want my kids out here and there's a major problem down the streets. I don't want to let my daughter go to the corner store right around the corner from my house. I don't. Because I'm fearful something might happen. So my focus is to help mitigate that problem. Yes, we have to take care. That's a big issue. Homelessness as well, big issue. The lack of housing, big issue. I don't know how we have a lack of housing here. There's so many zombie homes we can renovate to give to people. Like those, again, bad administration, bad practice. When you have those zombie homes, then you're not collecting any taxes from them, no rent from them. So you can literally flip that around so it'd be advantageous to both the administration and the people. But yeah, I would love to have more conversation with Todd about that, to connect the county and the city in regards.
Make my question more specific. Are you in line with the governor and in support of police picking up people who are homeless, who have seemingly apparent mental health conditions, for a hold? Or as a county legislator, would you work to put in proactive programs in order to get people help before it gets to
right,
the point
yeah,
the police 100%. Are involved?
No, yeah. I'm looking to take any proactive measure possible to prevent people from going on the street. We don't want that. So that's why, again, Yeah, 100%. I'm more in the proactive realm of doing things rather than trying to figure out ways to fix things that are broken. Like, because right now, we keep, again, going down this approach that the administration has been doing. Their focus is just, if it's broken, let's break it some more. Like, and I'm not looking to do that. Let's fix things. Let's prevent things from happening.
I think a point is they're more or less criminalizing homelessness and mental illness. So what are some of the resolutions that we might look for or that you might, ideas that you might have in order to address that? That's what she means. Are you in line with...
right, being proactive about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again,
So Buffalo had this thing, right, where they had a ride-along.
Mm.
And somebody rides along with the police. When they go to areas such as where mental illness might be part of the situation,
right?
So we have no place for those people, so they're arrested. So what resources can we look for, and can you advocate for us for those people in this area?
Right.
And I think that's what's...
Right, right. And again, in taking a proactive approach, so I would love to have these conversations to figure out what, again, what anticipatory steps we can take to help prevent these things from happening. And then now, being part of the majority, if I get in, I can literally now procure resources, funding for whatever project we decide to push forward. Right now, again, our current legislator can't do that. He doesn't have that capability. And it doesn't have that willingness to do that either. So at the end of the day, I can, and this is why I would love to have a sit down with you, with Bell and Ronnie and them, to have them come up with a thorough plan for so that way we can prevent this from happening.
So, just to kind of, I know he had mentioned the ride along and whatnot, so I kind of want to speak to that because I actually did that right before I got elected. And just so I can see, so I understand what you mean, just so I can see what that looks like and how maybe what the police have to deal with in the city. And once it was found out by the administration that I did the ride along, they cut it completely. So it starts at the top,
right,
and he's in control. He chooses the chief and he pretty much tells them what to do.
Right.
So that could be an issue.
They have a position at his pleasure.
Yeah.
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 So this
with the social workers or whatever the case may be to assist with those type of mental illness calls or whatever,
right,
case, they essentially go to wherever the call is, and so many individuals are well known by now, they don't even bother by taking them to the police department or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's funny because one of my tenants, her son actually has like a problem where he actually was sleeping in abandoned homes,
mm-hmm,
and one winter he had like frostbites on his hands. He had a cut of all his fingers,
and they cut all his fingers off.
Right.
Yeah, I see that poor kid.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he would come back on the street constantly, and his mom would just have to pull the cops on,
mm-hmm,
and they just take him, arrest him, and he'd be back
right,
the next
right
week.
Back.
Right, and I'm like, so there's no proper procedure to actually help rectify this situation.
Right,
and yeah, this is why we need to have these conversations. And from a county level, I don't have to rely on the mayor, right? I can bypass the mayor on the county level to make this happen. And if we get people like Dante Miles back in city council, now you have the mayor, you have the city and the county working together to help mitigate this. Whereas before, that's currently, they don't
right,
care at all. Any other questions?
Of course, I got a statement. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I mean, seriously,
yeah,
good luck to both of you.
Yeah.
Because one person's named on the ballot because he's fighting for the people. Your name on the ballot, so when both y'all get on it, we're going to still hold you
accountable
for everything y'all say today.
100%.
You know, and you gave me hope. Dante, you know, you're a Democrat, stuff like that. But you gave me hope today. I've lost all hope on certain things as far as politics and certain things.
Yeah,
So it's refreshing to hear you speak like that. And I just hope which I don't think it is, it's not smoke.
No.
Right? Because I know somebody that's in the state senator position right now, he came here and blew smoke, and it's still crowded because of the things he said. You know, so
right.
When you get in,
Thank you. Like, again, my focus is never getting into politics. My focus is
right.
being a servant leader. That's a prime example of the type of leader we need in this city. You need people who's going to serve the people, not require the people to serve them. And that's the problem we have with the current administration.
Yeah, he forgets that he's there to pleasure the people.
Right, right. And it's all levels right now of the administration. From the legislators all the way up to the mayors, all of them. But any more questions? Good. All right, well, I have some material to pass out. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for coming, guys. Oh, have a few minutes until our next speaker.
So you were the fourth district?
Yeah.
Are you going to your test? Yeah.
Right. I know. I
But I worked here, so
nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Dawn. Hey, Dawn. Your name is
Dawn.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Your name is. No, I'm only in the 4th district. Oh, it's down here. Chris Hoacher was so. You might want to go with Don there. Honestly, it's not being forced to answer to me.
When they were hiring for you at Burger, I just kept telling your CEO, like, the better be looking for her, like, it's not a great thing. Like, you know what they're doing.
I have 4 years of history on the seat. I'll tell you, if I watch the videos, I haven't seen stopped being an advocate for the government. I was who I was back in the city. I was who I was back in the city. Bring those out a little bit.
Don't be intimidated by nobody.
Not a soul. Not a soul. Listen, I'm tough as stepmother.
Are you relating?
Different clowns. My grandfather, he migrated from Memphis, Mississippi. And just a different setting, but like I tell people, blood wouldn't make us any closer. We're like, you know, we're the president.
I just used to drive the school bus in the Palomar.
I picked up the miles, too.
Be careful.
Baby's back there. He's asleep. He'd be right in the chair. So I'm going to go to Kermit's. I'm going to go get me something.
Is this a good forum to reach you? Okay, because we might have people call on election night and we have the results. So you can try and call people and be like, hey, how's it going? Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's nice to meet you.
I represent you. Like, I don't know. It's the first time I've met. I represent you. So, how can I represent you?
If you're there, we're going down that trail from over that door.
And come on, Cheryl, then you have to be all better. But that was just an employee. We're just the elevator.
You're far.
No, yeah, I actually was. That elevator didn't work here.
Right, you have that issue.
I know.
And my sister,
I was there. So I had that.
That is great.
Yeah, I mean, I did the one.
I'm a disruptor.
I always show people this because they sell because people they like
no matter what.
Would I want her to stay?
That seems different.
However,
infrastructure test the future here is not conducive for our babies.
We have that type of aid like this.
You have an administration that's really caring.
These quality of life issues.
Here's what I don't like. Because I heard about, I was, before getting elected, I was born. He had all these different task forces with my head.
And I know all of that. We met and he was able.
What did he get out of it? I don't know.
Probably, you know. But at least why he became a
coach. I don't believe in having.
It's because we didn't make anything accomplished. It was just we listen to you and ignore you. And that's the reason people walk away. And I'm still here.
See the tickets for the UCCM. I want to see some tickets.
Well, you can see the whole thing.
In that time, I ran for council. I was a councilman for 4 years citywide, and then became mayor for the last 4 years, and I'm running again for another four-year term. Big highlights with my record are we fixed our financial position. We were heading in a downward slope to bankruptcy, going from $7 million in reserves to $300,000 when I walked in. We had a multi-million dollar operating deficit, but in the years I've been here, we now have increased the reserve to over $3 million. We're no longer borrowing $4 million to pay our bills short term, and recently our credit score went up, so we have structured budgets, and we are fiscally sound, which is important for running our city day-to-day. In my time, we have brought in over $36 billion in grants for public, private, nonprofit projects, We have made major improvements to infrastructure. We have made our streets more walkable too. We've made major investments in sidewalk improvements, pedestrian initiatives, updating intersections so they're safer to cross, easy to cross. Those are really critical pieces, not just for our downtown area, which is really seeing an economic boost, but really our neighborhood. And we're working on major projects like a new community center to house and centralize our senior center, our rec department, offices, and so on. And we also received over $8 million in various grants to construct a new aquatic facility that would be used for all ages, which is beginning construction in the, well, now really we're doing site demolition. And that's going to be zero grade entry. All ages would be able to use it, unlike our old facility, which is going to be a major project for the center of our city. And this year, we also received a $500,000 grant that was really critical for neighborhood blights. The $500,000 grant is assisting with low-income families to do property improvements up to $50,000 on their homes. And one of those pieces, too, is that they have to meet codes and be ADA compliant, which is a great aspect. And the hope is that we're going to keep rolling that so we can continue to provide really that funding source for those in need. We had about 100 families that were interested. 50 or 500,000 only goes so far. So right now we're looking at about 10 families. We're hopeful that we can squeeze a few more dollars out of that and then again keep rolling into it. So we have seen an immense amount of growth in our city. We've really become a destination. And yeah, I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, Emily Watkins, BPM NPR. I'm wondering, are there any specific policy initiatives you would aim to complete in your next term that relates specifically to people with disabilities or maybe of specific interest to people with disabilities or people who have mental health conditions?
So to go back on the disability piece, we did implement, what's it called, Smart Streets or Complete Streets. That was an initiative. So really looking at, again, like intersection updates where they have to have the proper ADA compliance, doing those repairs to make sure they're crossed properly, specific signals that help with anyone who might have a disability to ensure they're safe and for crossing safely. Again, I mean, you know, we have, it was...
I'm interested if there's any new, just any new policies or initiatives you take on if reelected. I hear what you've done, but are there any specific goals you haven't been able to achieve that you would like to pursue in another term?
Mm-hmm. So what we really want to do is help with our neighborhoods. We have older neighborhoods. We're over 125 years old, and a lot of these properties have been converted into multi-family, which means they oftentimes have landlords who really aren't doing much to improve their properties. So tackling absentee landlords is going to be even more so a huge effort. We need people investing in these neighborhoods, making them safe for tenants, making sure they're up to code. We did increase some employment in our code enforcement too, so we can have more oversight and start going after, you know, are they up to fire code? Do they have the proper safety features, fire alarms, smoke alarms? You know, are they accessible for those that need it? I know we did work with, I think it was Belmont Housing, to update our codes as well, ensure that, you know, we're working with Belmont and, you know, anyone with Section 8 to ensure that their living conditions are proper. So we work with many different agencies to accommodate what they need to make a better community for residents that live there.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. I've noticed that there's quite a few, at least three of those lights that tell you when to go and would not do whatever, like
the
there's a little man on it. It says walk.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in Tonawanda. I don't know.
North Tonawanda.
Well, over here in Niagara Falls, there's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're turned and nobody can see it.
Well, sounds like the department there might have to just do a couple repairs. I mean, the big thing with us, we have some traffic or intersections that haven't been touched in 50 years. So we got a $1.6 million grant with a match that equals $2 million to do those basically improvements, right? Making it so.
Yeah.
Was it more?
Yeah. There's also the no right turn, and there are people that are taking right turns.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I know, but I'm saying you might have that problem there, and my idea would be to solve that is to put a camera there to catch those people, because you can give them tickets with a camera.
Yeah.
And, and that would help. That would help give you some income, but it would also give you, like it would catch these people and deter them from doing that. And that would be, just be on the lookout for that kind of thing in your area too. I'm just giving you, I mean, I've noticed that here, you might want to check into that there.
So we do have really good traffic enforcement, but again, police can't be everywhere at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're 11 square miles.
Oh, that's why I said camera. Yeah.
And with these new intersections, there are cameras in the traffic signals. But they're predominantly used if there's, say, an accident or something where evidence is needed. We do not and don't intend to do camera ticketing. I know some major cities might do it or did do it for a bit. I believe Buffalo did, and they got rid of it where they were getting they were giving people tickets for speeding, say. But it was really not something the community embraced. And I know there was a lot of back and forth reports filing lawsuits against them that it wasn't right. But I will say that the city and school district did work with a bus company. It was called Bus Patrol to update all the cameras on school buses inside and outside for free. And in turn, those were implemented where if people were driving past stop signs when they're out for buses, safety pieces, that is a ticketing process there. But with intersections, it's really an after the fact to get the evidence that we need if there was an incident with it. But
yeah, because my mom has gone to go across the street in her wheelchair, and they've done the no turn on right on red.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like going because the sign is telling her to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken them right.
Yeah.
And it's like, my heart is going.
Yeah, there's quite a few bad drivers.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's why I was like, well, maybe, that would help the pedestrians cross.
It's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Does North Carolina have an ADA task force?
I was just speaking with someone about this. We do have a representative within our community development office, but we address, we do reviews of compliance with our building department and our fire department. That's really our go-to. If there's any ADA concerns, complaints, or things that we need to improve, we have old building. We're in an old city, and we continue to make improvements, especially if anything changes. State codes, regulations, and so on. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. I'm sorry,
Likewise.
I'm looking
forward
to embark.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Oh,
I'm going to
start seeing me shutting up there.
I would love to.
And if there's no place for wheelchairs to go, I'm going to be sitting down front on the front line. That's what I did to the educational board of education. I went right down to the middle. Pulling up, and they thought I was going to speak. I was just I was where I could hear him because I'm hard of hearing. Yeah. So I will be right down to the front.
Well, you probably want to go straight to the front anyway. Yeah. But
no, need spaces for wheelchairs to be in there down the front to hear.
Right, that's especially for that. But two, our sound system is horrible, so you probably won't be able to hear anyway. So, all right, let me get out of here. What's your question? How are you?
Okay.
We're streaming live.
Sure, sure.
The first few minutes you can spend just getting some background on yourself.
Okay.
And then we'll open up to questions. You can
kind of get some of that. And then I'm sure it wasn't looking. Oh, I'm okay. Sorry.
We are your sign language interpreters.
Thank you.
So we have our next speaker here, Tanya Perron, who's running for Niagara Falls, City of Niagara Falls Council.
Yes.
Okay. Tanya, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you.
You can go as well.
Hello. Thank you for joining today and for being here to listen to what I have to offer to the public. I am running for City Council, where there's 3 seats available. It's a very important election, as the 3 council seats are the deciding votes, the majority votes on the council. There's 5 seats total in the city council, which is the council body. 3 seats is a very important election. It will be the deciding factor on the agenda items as they're pushed forward from the administration. I am a lifelong resident of Niagara Falls, a realtor with Howard Hanna, which I have been for almost 20 years. So I'm used to working with the community. I'm an animal advocate, developed a non-for-profit animal rescue called Diamonds in the Rough back in 2010. And I'm a wildlife rehabilitator, licensed with the state of New York, and have been working with wild critters of Niagara County for almost 20 years. As you can see from that experience, my heart is with animals. But in turn, with helping animals, I've been able to help numerous people as well. I know that people's hearts are with the animals. They're God's creatures, and I have such a respect for that, and have met so many great people along the way. What has brought me to City Hall was a problem with our local animals in the community being injured. And I came into City Hall to ask for help with our local police department, where we only have 1 dog control officer for the entire city, doing cruelty investigations and picking up stray dogs. What I had discovered was there was a multitude of issues at City Hall and with our agendas. With the money that's being allocated, sometimes not even making sense with the voting process and what looked to be like rubber stamping from some of our council. And it kind of just put a fire in my soul as a resident and a taxpayer to try to do a little better with the way the money is being allocated, the voting that is taking place, and just learning as much as I can about the processes at City Hall to try to make residents more informed, but also take part in not just the complaining, but actually the doing. So I'm here today to just introduce myself, have some conversations, and answer any questions that someone might have for me. And it's been a great process. I've enjoyed meeting so many residents, walking the neighborhoods door to door, going to some of the different organizations here, meeting people that are in charge of those organizations and networking to find out ways that I can help the community, even if I don't get a seat, to choose to move forward in this community and see how I can be of service to people here and working with everybody here. So I don't plan on stopping is what I'm saying. If I don't get a seat, I still plan to be an active community member here.
Any questions?
Hi, Emily Watkins, BTPM NPR. I'm wondering, are there certain policy or initiative goals you have as a council member elected that relate to the disability community or people with mental health conditions?
I do have a daughter that has mental health conditions, so I've been part of that healthcare system for many, many years. And it's unfortunate. I do see that there's a lot of lacking of opportunities and resources for people with disabilities, specifically the mental health disability, because like I said, I have more experience in that field. But I am very open to hearing from people and learning more, because I don't have that knowledge, unfortunately. But I'm open to any suggestions, comments, concerns, in ways that I might be able to help moving forward.
And I also asked Dante Miles this. You know, I was wondering, you know, there's been quite a few issues with the accessibility of City Hall, as well as seemingly the ADA coordinator. I can't find their contact info publicly available on the city's website, which could be a violation of the ADA if they don't have a public notice anywhere. You know, as a council member, is there anything you would do to advocate for better compliance with the ADA and better resources, especially when it comes to civic access for disabled people?
Absolutely, and that has been brought to my attention for just the attendance at city council meetings. There are people that have a hard time getting up the front stairs and the side door being locked, which is supposed to be the handicap entrance. So that is an issue, and that definitely needs to be brought to the attention of the administration. I know that one person alone can't get things done, so I'm willing to team up with anybody else inside City Hall that would be willing to, as a group, bring this to someone's attention. Particularly the mayor and the city administrator, and let them deal with that as well. But sometimes one voice isn't enough, so I'm willing to team up with other people and take care of that issue immediately.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Does anybody else have any questions?
I have maybe a naive question.
Sure.
I only recently learned that one of the barriers to service for people is the ability to keep their animals, keep their pets. Mm-hmm. Many people will not enter service situations because of the keep their pets. As an animal advocate, do you see a way around this that people could be maintain connection to their animals while entering service? Or can you speak to that in any way?
That is a very difficult one. Something that we're facing is definitely a housing crisis as well, and a lot of animals are being displaced, and shelters are full, rescues are full. In any given situation, I would love to be able to keep that animal with the person, their owner, because there is such an emotional connection with animals and people, and I think they serve in many ways as an aid to anyone, any owner. I would do anything in my power to be able to network with, and then still network with, many rescues in the area. I would love to be able to keep people together. Better Together Pet Resource Center is also a very good resource here on Niagara Street. And they help in many ways as well, keep animals and people together. So like I said, I would use those resources that I do have in any capacities to keep the animal with the actual animal.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Vincent Cawley. I'm born and raised in Niagara Falls. I live right around the corner. I grew up with a single mom, and actually have a brother who has cerebral palsy, so I've been helping him as a nurse, if you will, doing everything all my life, pretty much. I went to graduated from high school in 2002. I went to RIT for Rochester Institute of Technology for Mechanical Manufacturing Engineering, graduated in 2007. And just been in the workaday world, working as an engineer ever since. And I have a heart for this city, and I can't leave this city without trying to give it my best shot to change this city for the better. We are a world-class city. We have the beautiful Niagara Falls, a wonder of the world. and the rest of our city is not up to par and up to where it should be. So that's why I ran for city council. And that's why I'm running for city council.
What do you think you're going to do to make change?
Yes, that's a great question. Love it. So it's a two-step plan. The first step is to get on the city council, and not just one person, not just myself on the city council, but other members of the city council who have a heart for the city, who care about the people, they want to see real change, and they're not yes men or rubber stamps. So if we get a majority of the council, we are on a nosedive as a city. We're going down. I've seen Niagara Falls in 41 years of my living. Niagara Falls has done nothing but go down. And we need to turn that up to the right side. And the only way to do that is getting right people on the city council working together to move the city forward. So the first step is getting individuals on the city council that care. Yes.
Hi, Emily Watson, BPM NPR. You know, I'm wondering, are there any certain policy or initiatives that you would like to do if elected that relate specifically to or are of interest to people with disabilities or mental health conditions?
Yes, and I literally was just talking to Mr. Todd there about the compliance, the ADA compliance of Niagara Falls. And you know, I hear we're, and he just was telling me, I hear we're getting there. I had that question here, we're getting there, but we got to get there. Getting there is not it. We want to be there, get there, and then keep on excelling. So being in full ADA compliance is absolutely one of my goals, is because I have a brother that's cerebral palsy. I care about the disabled community, the wheelchair community, and all communities, but specifically that one has a special place in my heart. But as a city, and learning groups like this, if there are any, you know, I'm open to all ideas, all people, don't know everything, and that's why I love talking with these kind of groups that are in my own backyard. I love knowing what you're doing. So if we can write legislation to help do whatever we need to do, so anything else that comes up, I'm open and ready to write legislation to do it.
Well, excuse me, as a follow-up.
Yep.
Sorry. You know, right now I can't find a listing on the city's website of who the ADA coordinator is. If they have no notice within City Hall, which I'm unsure of if they do or not, that could be an ad space violation of the ADA. That could open the city up to lawsuits. I mean, when City Hall, if City Hall is not complying with the ADA, what would you do as a council member to hold the city accountable?
Absolutely, we have to do it. So number one, obviously each city council member has the power and the authority to write resolutions, number one. So if there's a resolution that we need to urge and to hold the administration accountable to do what it needs to do, we can definitely do that. If we need to rewrite or update any ordinances that have been or any legislation that is not up to par, we can do that. We can subpoena the administration if necessary. So there are steps towards accountability and transparency that we as city council people, if you have the political will, and if you have the bulldog tenacity to do it, we can absolutely bring it to fruition, whatever you consider.
Thank you.
Well, yes, sir.
As the city prepares for winter, what are your plans for street cleanup of city sidewalks, pedestrian crosswalks, and public transportation access points during inclement weather, seeking basic accessibility for not only disabled individuals, but all residents to include school children?
Absolutely. So you have the city council and the administration. As a city council member, we don't control them or do anything they do, but we can bring all the attention, all the pressure, all the city, all the community awareness to have the city develop a plan, make it public, to say here's our plan to plow. Because snow, I don't think that's anything new in Niagara Falls. Maybe it was new, maybe something new, the stuff that comes down every year, you know, cold, sort of wet, sometimes heavy. It's not anything new. We should have a plan in place that's automatic. We know we have the people, we have the trucks, we have the plows, we have the plan to get out there and do what we need to do. God bless DPW and their workers, but it's up to the administration itself to have a plan to keep our sidewalks clear, to keep our roads paved, our roads plowed, and everything accessible during our times of snow. So everything should be enacted in ahead of time. We have sonar, we have radar to tell us when things are coming. We have technology to do it. Why not get ahead of it and be more proactive? And that's what I would bring as a city council person, being more proactive.
Nice.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I know a lot of our city plows and stuff are old, and they're putting band-aids to get them just to operate.
Yes, they are.
Is there anything you can do to help maybe get some new plows in or anything that would help the city?
Absolutely. And part of the city council is legislation, and the other half of that is budgeting. So as city council members, and we feel our DPW needs equipment, I like to get their perspective. What do they need? What exactly do they need? The type of equipment, the type of plowing, all the accoutrements, all the accessories. And we budget that into the plan. We give that to the administration, say, hey, your administration, your DPW workers needs this amount of equipment. This is what we've been told. We got the money in the budget for it. Now buy it for them. And that's what the city council is supposed to do. Make the budget so that they can go spend the money.
And here would be a great asset for you to talk to.
Yes, love Tim. Absolutely. Love Tim. I have a great relationship with Tim. And we definitely have been working together and will continue to work together even tighter. Absolutely. I love Tim.
Any other questions? Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been great. No.
We really appreciate
it. Thank you. Look forward to doing more, whether anything, I look forward to working with you more. Everybody.